You know, I'm really pleased to see that forests are at last being given the importance that is due to them in relation to food security and nutrition. For many years, the nutritional importance of forests has just not been considered in international discussions. And that is really an issue that is to the detriment of current and future generations. In your work this week, you will develop a much greater appreciation of the role that forests play in household livelihoods, in people's food security and nutrition, and also as a source of local and global public goods. And these goods are so important for the future of our society and people. Forests, as well as being sources of food, fuel, and water, are vital reservoirs of biodiversity and are the basis of many ecosystem services on which we all depend. You all know, but I'm going to repeat it, that forests are the world's primary means for capturing carbon. And that vital fact needs to be taken into account in all work in relation to the mitigation of the ongoing changes in world climate that we experience today. So I anticipate that your work over the next 3 days will lead to a shared appreciation of the real challenges of getting political accountability and concrete action around the role of forests in people's food security and nutrition. It won't be enough just to state obvious facts. What matters now is to churn those facts into the necessary political action that leads to greater respect for the role of forests in people's lives and livelihoods. You have a good program for doing this. The parallel sessions for today and tomorrow will show the potential impact of concerted action by many different stakeholders across the whole of society. And the final day of the conference should lead to the production of principles and frameworks which could contribute to greater political action to ensure adequate respect for the role of forests in people's food security and nutrition. And you will need a follow-up process to ensure that you are all working for that transformation to happen. I'd like to really underline the risks posed to food and nutrition security by climate change and the absolute importance of the role that forests play in mitigating the potential dramatic increase in the world's temperature that will undermine food security and nutrition for multiple millions of people. So, to the main point that I want to focus on in these remarks. There have been many people in our world who have championed the importance of forests and who have sought to get greater attention to the maintenance of functioning forests in our world, but they have not yet managed to bring work on forests into comprehensive approaches for food security and nutrition that are being taken forward by many governments and international bodies. Bringing forests into food security and nutrition won't be easy, and I hope that you will find ways to do this both now and in future. It means looking at some of the delicate trade-offs that exist around where scarce resources should be invested. For example, is it more appropriate, in order to ensure food security, that forests are cut down to create more land for growing essential food products? Or can the maintenance of the forests be shown to have at least as great a contribution to people's food security as would have happened if the forest had been turned into arable land? To make these kinds of trade-offs, governments need careful analysis of potential yields and benefits, as well as both the immediate and long-term costs associated with change in land use. But it is through the efforts of groups as represented here in this room that the kind of information necessary to help perhaps rebalance some of these trade-offs can be produced and used at national level. Our Director General Graziano da Silva just mentioned the Secretary General's vision of zero hunger, his Zero Hunger Challenge, launched in Rio last year. This vision has at its centre the realisation of the right to food through collective understanding, organisation and activism, with a strong focus on the elimination of inequity, particularly between women and men. All the elements of the challenge that Graziano just identified have the relevance of forests and forestation very much bundled into them. For example, people enjoying 100% access to adequate food all year round means protecting forests as an integral source of food for the hundreds of millions of people who rely on them, especially when food supplies are limited, perhaps as a result of seasons or shortage of rains. When we're focusing on an elimination of malnutrition, we should value the nutritionally dense indigenous foods, many of which grow in forests. If we are trying to ensure that all food systems are sustainable, that means that forests and landscapes need to be sustainable, and also acknowledging the ecosystem foundation of all agriculture, minimizing its ecological footprint, and also recognizing that forests are the primary repository of the genetic material that is so important for agriculture. The part of the Zero Hunger Challenge relating to the productivity and income of smallholders has to also have the planting of trees and agroforestry systems at its centre, because so much of smallholding agriculture can be made both more sustainable and more productive if small-scale forest-based enterprises are integrated into smallholder agriculture systems. And if we are seeking to eliminate loss or waste in food production. We should also be fighting hard to reduce the need to cut down forests to create more arable land. Achieving the Zero Hunger Challenge for people of forests and forest users is about ensuring that their rights are at the center of policy making, especially when it affects their livelihoods. How can forests be made a whole of society issue? How can their contribution to food security and nutrition be better politicized? I think we should look at the fundamental lesson that we are learning right here in Rome through the Committee on World Food Security. Political action can occur more readily if all stakeholders from all walks of life are involved in meaningful debates about the issues at stake. It means that those who specialize in forestry need to be ready to share their experience and expertise with thousands of other groups who would be prepared to make forests an issue on which they will campaign and act, whether they are in different sectors of government, civil society, the private sector, and the people themselves. I believe that the example of His Excellency the President of Gabon, just given to us by his minister, is a great example of making forests a central political issue for the government as a whole. I have heard His Excellency speak about this persuasively and convincingly, and believe that if we could get more presidents and prime ministers to embrace forests as a political issue, particularly in relation to food security, nutrition, and sustainable landscapes, we would be in a much better position in the future with regard to these vital issues. Thank you for the chance to share these thoughts with you at the opening of this important conference.